This is DW News live from Berlin. The Azovstal siege ends with the surrender of hundreds of Ukrainian soldiers. After weeks trapped in the massive steel mill, they're now captives of the Russian military, with their immediate fate unclear. Also on the program, the US president pays his respects to the victims of a racist mass shooting.
Hate will not prevail, and white supremacy will not have the last word.
Joe Biden is in Buffalo, New York, to meet the families of the 10 people shot dead by a white supremacist on Saturday. And the red carpet returns to the French Riviera. The Cannes Film Festival is back without restrictions. We'll take a look at this year's cinematic highlights. I'm Ulal Sakar. Welcome to the program. More than 260 of the Ukrainian soldiers holed up for weeks inside the massive steelworks in Mariupol have surrendered. This ends the war's longest siege and puts Russia in full control of this key city. Russia has already taken hundreds of Ukrainian fighters, some severely wounded, to territory held by its forces. The Kremlin says they'll be treated in accordance with international agreements.
The Russian Defense Ministry says these pictures show Mariupol fighters undergoing inspection before being evacuated. A large convoy of surrendered Ukrainian soldiers was escorted from the Azov Steel Works by pro-Russian armed forces. Dozens of troops are wounded and have been taken to a hospital in the Russian-controlled town of Novoazovsk in the Far East. Some 200 others were transferred north to Olenivka, in Russian-backed separatist territory. Several hundred Ukrainian soldiers could still be inside the Azov Steel plant. Kyiv says it wants to get them out alive, but that negotiations remain delicate. Many Ukrainians are skeptical about Russia's pledge to treat Ukrainian soldiers in line with international norms.
Nothing good will come of it. We don't know how they will be treated. Actually, we do know. What we have already seen in Bucha, Irpin, and in other towns.
Though most of Mariupol now lies in ruins, the Ukrainian soldiers defending the city managed to fight against Russian forces for much longer than expected.
All these guys basically changed the course of the war and gave Ukraine the possibility to prove on the battlefield that we have a strong army.
Ukraine says that their mission at the Mariupol steel plant is complete and that its defenders fully accomplished what they set out to do. Nevertheless, the city's loss and evacuation of its people is a major symbolic blow for Ukraine. One that came at a heavy price for both sides.
DW's Matthias Berlinger is in Ukraine's second biggest city, Kharkiv, close to Ukraine's border with Russia. He told us more about the soldiers taken out of the Azovstal steelworks.
We know that they have been brought to these places that we've just seen mentioned, Novoazovsk and Olenivka. We do not know how they are treated. We have heard that they are being questioned, whatever that means. And of course, the question is now what's going to happen. Supposedly, there should be a prisoner swap. They should be exchanged for Russian prisoners of war. But listening to what we hear from Moscow about them, people demanding death penalty for them, the Court of Justice debating whether to call the Azov Battalion a terrorist group, we cannot be sure that this is ever going to happen.
And here's a quick look at some other Ukraine-related news. Sweden's Foreign Minister Ann Linde has signed her country's official NATO application at the Foreign Ministry in Stockholm. Sweden and Finland want to join the alliance following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Finland's parliament approved its application by an overwhelming majority. Germany says it's working on securing safe routes to move agricultural goods out of Ukraine. The European Commission released a plan last week to help Ukraine move its critical grain supplies to parts of the world suffering from hunger and malnutrition. The plan will use various routes to maneuver around Russian blockades off the Black Sea ports. U.S. President Joe Biden has visited Buffalo in New York State, where a gunman shot dead 10 people just days ago. Police are investigating the attack as a racist hate crime. The president and first lady met with community leaders and bereaved families. The suspect is an 18-year-old accused of white supremacist sympathies. He attacked a grocery store in a predominantly African-American neighborhood. 11 of the 13 people struck by gunfire were black. In an emotional speech, the president urged Americans to reject what he called the poison of white supremacy.
In America, evil will not win, I promise you. Hate will not prevail, and white supremacy will not have the last word. What happened here is simple and straightforward. Terrorism. Terrorism. Domestic terrorism.
DW's Washington bureau chief Ines Paul was in Buffalo for the president's visit.
The first place President Biden visited during today's trip to Buffalo was a little memorial next to the supermarket right behind me, where an 18-year-old man killed 10 people last Saturday and injured three. The suspect drove about 200 miles to this black neighborhood in Buffalo because he was aiming to kill black people. After President Biden met with family members and first responders, he delivered a speech which was both very emotional and highly political. He said, evil was in Buffalo, and it was white supremacy. He recognized the shooter as a terrorist who followed a racist conspiracy and directly called it domestic terrorism. He warned that America's democracy was, and I quote this here, in danger like it hasn't been in my lifetime, before he made his way back to the White House.
Ines Paul there in Buffalo, New York. Some other stories making headlines around the world now. The British government says it wants to scrap part of the Northern Ireland Brexit protocol, the trade deal agreed with the European Union as Britain left the European Union. British Foreign Minister Liz Truss said the planned legislation should provide Northern Ireland with access to the same benefits as the people of Great Britain. Violence has broken out in Libya's capital Tripoli after the country's parliament-appointed prime minister tried to enter the city. Fatih Bashagha later withdrew, citing concerns for the safety of civilians. Two rival administrations are vying for power following the end of the civil war 2 years ago. Results from Lebanon's parliamentary election show the Hezbollah group and its allies have lost their majority in parliament. Several opposition candidates have made gains. The results show a polarized parliament, mainly divided between pro- and anti-Hezbollah lawmakers. Domestic flights have resumed from Shanghai's Pudong Airport as China's largest city emerges from a strict COVID-19 lockdown. Authorities have laid out plans for the city to fully reopen in June as concerns grow over a sharp economic slowdown caused by the pandemic restrictions. Now to Spain, where women suffering from painful periods might soon be entitled to paid time off. The country's cabinet has approved a draft bill allowing workers to claim medical leave during menstruation if they have approval from a doctor. Spain would be the first European country to offer this right.
In Spain, periods are becoming less taboo and maybe less painful for women in the workforce. The government has proposed a new law allowing workers to take as many days as needed to recover from severe menstrual pain every month.
No more going to work in pain. No more taking pills before arriving and having to hide the fact that we're in pain and can't function. All of those women who need it will be able to use paid leave to deal with periods that cause disabling pain.
Under the draft law, the state would pay for the recovery time, not employers and not workers who sometimes use up holiday allowances or take unpaid leave to cope. A Spanish doctors' association estimates that extreme period pain affects around a third of women. Campaigns hope this bill will be the first step for workers suffering from under-researched conditions like endometriosis.
We don't want this to just be 2 or 3 or 5 days at home, and then you go back to work as if nothing ever happened. What we're asking for this to be a first step towards investing in research and finding a cure so that period pain really stops being such a problem for many women.
If Spain passes the bill, it would join a handful of mostly Asian countries that already offer a menstrual leave law, and it would be a European first. But the draft law is controversial. Not all trade unions support it, and some believe it won't help women in the workplace.
This is seriously damaging for women when you consider the opportunities that they could have.
I think some people will take menstrual leave without being in terrible pain, so this law will really need to be better policed.
Spanish lawmakers still have to vote on the bill, and it's not clear whether the governing coalition will get enough support to pass it.
Now, the 75th Cannes Film Festival has opened on the French Riviera. And after a cancelled 2020 edition and a scaled-back event last year, it's the first time since the start of the pandemic that it's being held without any restriction. This year, 21 films are vying for the prestigious Palme d'Or. DW's Scott Roxburgh and Adrian Kennedy have the envious job of watching some of those films.
The Cannes Film Festival returns to relative normality after 2 years of COVID pandemic disruption. And Cannes is taking off, looking to be Top Gun again. COVID also put brakes on the release of Top Gun Maverick, which will finally have its international launch.
What is that?
It's one of life's mysteries, sir.
More than 35 years after the 1986 original, Tom Cruise's resurrection of the famous fighter pilot is symbolic of the festival's own resurgence.
Good morning, aviators.
This all comes at a very pivotal time for the movie industry. After 2 years of pandemic lockdowns, theaters worldwide are struggling. And Cannes is counting on its unique combination of red carpet glamour and international arthouse allure to act as a global billboard, drawing film fans around the world back into theaters.
Another eagerly awaited new film is from cult Canadian filmmaker David Cronenberg. After an 8-year hiatus, the master of body horror dusted off a 20-year-old script for his new film, Crimes of the Future.
You know what it is. Surgery is the new sex.
I don't like what's happening with the body. In particular, what's happening with my body.
Viggo Mortensen leads a star-studded cast as a performance artist showcasing the metamorphosis of his own organs.
Never before seen.
A little Cannes razzmatazz is provided by Elvis. Baz Luhrmann's biopic starring Austin Butler as the King of Rock and Roll and Tom Hanks as his manager, Colonel Tom Parker, is a romp through the good, the bad and the ugly of American culture, with Elvis portrayed, in the director's own words, as the original superhero.
You're watching DW's. Rob Watts has DW Business in just a moment. And don't forget, you can get all the news around the clock on DW.com and in the DW app. That's it from me. I'm Ulla Alsaker in Berlin. Thanks for watching. Take care. Bye-bye.